be grateful for Christ today, and so our passage is going to come from 1 Timothy chapter 1. It's a letter that the Apostle Paul is writing to a younger disciple, one of his young disciples, Timothy. And this is how, this is the beginning of the letter, not quite the beginning, but sort of in the middle of chapter 1, and this is what he reminds Timothy about his experience with Jesus. Paul writes, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus." Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance, he's saying to Timothy. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. And then he sort of ends with this sort of this doxology of sorts. He says, "Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." You may be seated. That's God's word for us today. You know, the Apostle Paul, he had much to be grateful for. If you know Paul's story, right? Paul's story, it began with a bang. It was like this 180-degree turn, a transformation that anyone within sight could see. Once a very persecutor of the faith that he now believed, Paul was literally blind before he could see. Literally blind before he could see. You know, Paul has one of those stories that would be really good at a conference. Right? Like if you were going to go to like some conference and you needed to like raise money or, you know, you wanted people to like volunteer for something, you're going to like throw Paul on the center stage and ask him to share his story, to sort of rally and inspire the troops. Now, you've heard these stories before, haven't you? These sorts of stories, stories of people that were maybe once addicted to drugs and alcohol and then were changed. Maybe they had lost all hope and they were considering ending it all. Some had worldly success. They sort of made it to the top. You know, whether it was made a name for themselves or maybe they just made plenty enough to buy the good life. But at the top, they found it was pretty lonely, pretty hollow, in fact. Stories of the atheist or the Hindu turning to faith in Christ. Stories of people nearly dead. Maybe cancer or a car accident. And in all of these stories, Jesus shows up. Right? Jesus shows up and he takes away the addiction. Or he shows up in a dream. Or he's there before it all turns bad. And of course, there's life, there's restoration, there's healing, there's these 180-degree turns, and it's amazing. These stories, it is amazing. As people tell these salvation stories, they sort of echo Paul's words there in 1 Timothy 1. "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, for he came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst." And what these people know, what they know is that they were once lost. They were once enemies of God, but now they're called a friend of God. These stories, anyone within sight knows that there is much to be grateful for. There is much to be grateful for. And thank God. I mean, thank God for these stories. Maybe that's your story today. Maybe that's how you've experienced the gospel. Thank God. Seriously, thank God, because, you know, we need more stories like that. And we just need more stories of transformation and the gospel penetrating people at their darkest moments and everyone can see. Thank God for those stories. But I want to ask you today, what if your story isn't like that? I mean, what if that's not really your story? What if your story didn't make the 11 o'clock news? Or anybody watch a Hallmark movie this weekend? One person? Two? Three? Okay. What if your story didn't make the Hallmark? And it's got to be a lot of drama to make the Hallmark channel, right? All right? So what if your story doesn't make the 11 o'clock news or it couldn't pass as a movie on the Hallmark channel? Seriously, what if your story doesn't have that much drama? You really couldn't tell where the turn was. See, that's actually more like my story. My story, I don't really have this big bang. I wouldn't make it on a Hallmark movie. It's more bland. It's sort of subdued. My story's pretty ordinary. If I was to tell you my story this morning, you might fall asleep. I'm going to try it, okay? So don't fall asleep on me. But, you know, I grew up in a Christian home, and I have been in church since diapers. Yeah, I just kind of grew up going to church. I received, those stickers for memorizing Bible verses, you know, every week in Sunday school. Anybody remember the flannel graph? All right? Flannel graph, you put the Bible, characters on this flannel graph thing. Look it up, all right? Look it up. Yeah. I'm aging myself here, man. Okay. So I embraced Jesus when I was six years old. I don't really remember it too well. I came home from church one Sunday, and I was sitting on my parents' bed, and I was like, I think I'm ready to accept Jesus. And we prayed a prayer, I think. I don't really remember too much of the story. The heavens did not open up, We were just there. I think I prayed, and then I probably went and watched cartoons or something, the next moment. I don't know, but I didn't do drugs or like drink Jack Daniels. I mean, I didn't do it at six, but neither did I do it at like 18 either. And as I grew up, I was a leader in my youth group. I was a good kid. I just kind of did the right things. You didn't have to worry about me. I was in the church every time the door was open. It seems to me like I didn't have a very interesting story. I didn't have a very interesting story. You would not invite me to the conference. I remember one time I was at this middle school conference, and if you've ever been to one of these things, at the end of the second day or whatever, they have this huge altar call, and you come down and you confess your deepest, darkest sin, and so all my friends are going down, and I'm like, oh man, I gotta go, So I'm like trying to make something up in my head, how what am I gonna say when I get down there to share? I just didn't feel like I had that interesting of a turn, of a story. And now, of course, despite sort of the humdrum nature of my story, I was saved, right? I mean, come on, I was saved, but I really didn't know from what. I really didn't know from what. The Apostle Paul says there, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, for he came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. I couldn't relate. I couldn't relate. The worst, that wasn't me. I wasn't that bad. I knew some people who were pretty bad, but it wasn't me. And if I'm honest with you, I'm not sure I had much to be grateful for. Yeah, maybe Jesus did a little for me, but that was sort of early on in my life. I was saved at six, so right there wasn't that much sin to take away. And as I got older, I was living a good life. I worked hard to be a good kid, to obey my parents and to attend church, to be a nice person. I never vocalized this. I never vocalized this, but if I had somebody to be grateful for, I was probably grateful for myself. I was probably grateful to myself. And I know that sounds bad. I know that sounds pretty bad, grateful to myself. It sounds sort of arrogant. It sounds sort of prideful, entitled, self-righteous. And it sounds arrogant and entitled, prideful and self-righteous? Because it is. It is prideful and arrogant and self-righteous and entitled. See, I guess because I didn't have that story, that checkered past, that public sin taken away, I wasn't grateful. I wasn't actually grateful for what Jesus had done for me, and so I became arrogant and prideful, entitled and self-righteous. Dr. Robin Edmonds, he's a professor of psychology at the University of California, Davis, and he's what many consider to be the leading expert in the leading scientific expert on gratitude, if there is such a thing. I feel like sometimes people make these titles up, but what he tells us is, of course, what many of our lives already affirm, what we sort of know from our lived experience, that gratitude, the act of being grateful, it has physical, psychological, and social benefits for us. That when we're grateful, we're actually healthier beings. So a recent National Institute of Health study shows that through gratitude, we have stronger immune systems, that we have lower blood pressure, lower cholesterol, and we sleep longer. Can I get an amen? Let's be grateful. When we're grateful, we're happier. We have positive emotions. We're more alert, we're more awake, and we have more joy and less anxiety. We have better relationships. We're more generous, we're more forgiving, we're more outgoing, we're less lonely and isolated. Now, Dr. Emmons, he says that gratitude has a two-part definition. The first is that it's an affirmation of goodness. Gratitude is an affirmation of goodness. We affirm that there are good things in the world. We affirm there's good things in the world. Now, it doesn't mean that the world is perfect. It doesn't mean the world is perfect. It doesn't mean our world is perfect. But, hey, there are good things in the world. There's a lot of good to go around. And then secondly, and more importantly, I would argue, is figuring out where that goodness comes from. Figuring out where that goodness comes from. He says this. He says, we must recognize the sources of this goodness as being outside of ourself. It didn't stem from anything we necessarily did ourselves in which to take pride. Sure, we can appreciate the positive traits in ourselves, but true gratitude involves a humble dependence on others. True gratitude involves a humble dependence on others. See, growing up, I was good. I was good. But my failure was thinking that goodness originated in me. That goodness originated in me. Not outside, but right here. And friends, what I don't want you to miss today is that is actually a scary place to be. That's a scary place to be when you think you are the reason you are who you are. Or when you think that you have what you have because of you. Or you've become who you've become because of you. Or you've made it this far in your life. You're in trouble. I was in trouble because, see, being grateful for yourself, which Dr. Emmons would say is sort of an oxymoron, right? You have to be grateful for something outside of you. Being grateful for yourself, it comes with a lot of pressure. It comes with a lot of pressure. Because if you better get it right, because you have no one to blame but yourself. You have no one to blame but yourself. And as I started to get older, I started to see cracks. Cracks in my armor. Little things, nothing that would make the Hallmark movie, nothing that would make the morning news, but little things, little habits, a little white lie here or a fall to temptation here, and things that I just began to realize I couldn't stop. I couldn't stop doing them. You know, I mean, I tried, right? I said, okay, I failed today. I won't do it again tomorrow. But then tomorrow came, and I said, oh, I'll try again the next day. And so I started to find myself in trouble. I think when you're arrogant and you're prideful and you're entitled and you're self-righteous, it sort of leaks out of you. I remember my mom punishing me. She did this a few times. She made me read like the book of James like 15 times in a row. You know, the book of James talks about the tongue. James 3:6 says, "The tongue is like a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body, and it is itself set on fire by hell." See, I started to see cracks in my armor, things leak out. And then others started to see it, and I began to feel shame and guilt. And see, when you're relying on yourself to be good and you finally figure out actually what everybody else sort of already knows, right? So often everyone sees it and you don't. When you start to rely on yourself, and you find out, hey, you're not all you're cracked up to be, you sort of put your tail between your legs. And so I was embarrassed, I was ashamed, I felt guilty, I felt a fool, like I had been found out, and I was no longer grateful for myself. No longer grateful for myself. And what I would say to that is, thank God. Thank God that I was no longer grateful for myself. See, it wasn't an easy journey, not by a long shot. There were days, and probably are still days, that I'm arrogant. There are days when I try to rely on my own goodness, my own efforts to be the person that I want to be. But in a season of prayer and with friends, a good pastor and scripture, I began to appreciate and value what Jesus had done in my life, who Jesus was in my life. And maybe even for the first time with truthfulness, I could say with the Apostle Paul and with some of my friends, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, for he came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. I remember reading one night the book of Romans, Romans 3:23, which says, "For all have fallen short of the glory of God," which is kind of a depressing statement, but I was kind of like, oh, wow, this is great, because we're all in the same playing field. All have fallen short of the glory of God. But then the next verse, verse 24, says, "And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus." Yes, we've all fallen short, but because of Christ, we all are justified. We all are freely given grace. See, I learned that goodness doesn't actually come from within, but as Dr. Emmons and Scripture affirms, it comes from outside of ourselves. Outside of me. I learned that I needed something and someone to save me and to change me. And I found that in the loving arms of our Savior, Jesus. I finally felt what Paul meant when he said, "The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus." And for that, I'm humbled. Humbled and grateful to him. Are you guys in fall asleep? Thank you. I'm done telling my story. What's your story? What is your story? Does your story begin with a bang? Does it have the characteristics of Paul? Did you have a drama or a U-turn? Do you remember how you once were, how you once lived, and what you got yourself into? Thank God. Seriously, thank God for his goodness, his life-transforming goodness in your life. We thank God for that. But is your story maybe more like mine? You know, it's a little harder to see, but you and I know. Deep down, you know. might have everyone fooled, but you know that you have much to be grateful for. You have much to be grateful for. And of course, if you in your story, you haven't yet embraced Christ, just know that he sent his son for you. He died for you. He has eternal life for you. He loves you. He's grateful for you. And his arms are wide open for you. For you. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. 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 Friends, what we're going to do in just the next few minutes is we're just going to take a few minutes to reflect, a few minutes to think on our story and what we have to be grateful for in our lives. So we just want you quietly where you are. You can put your head down if you want to pray, if you want to take a few notes on your bulletin or your phone or whatever. And just think about what it is in your life that you have to be grateful for. You know, I was for Thanksgiving, I was at my brother's, and he's got this great tradition of us going around the table and saying something that we're grateful for. And one person was sharing how they were grateful that people can change. That you know, you look around the room, and over the last couple of years, he acknowledged different people that have changed. And I think that's totally true. But my pastor brain was on a little bit, and I wanted to say, people can only change because of Jesus, you know, sort of thing. But I didn't do it. I just kind of laid back. He makes a good point. But sometimes we do put it all on ourselves to change or to be the person that we need to be, when really we need to look to him and ask him to change us. And so whether you want to reflect and be grateful that Jesus has changed you in the past, spend some time reflecting on that. Or maybe you need to spend some time with Jesus saying, hey, Jesus, I need you to change me here because I've been relying on myself. And so I need to be grateful that you're in my life and you're with me. Let's spend some time just reflecting. Just talk with Jesus. You know how to do this. Just talk with Jesus about what you are grateful for in your life.